Hello and welcome to another edition of NDTI's Talking Inclusion. My name's Drew Edwards and today I'm talking to Ikra and John about co-production in practice, in particular with the Time to Talk programme from NDTI. Welcome. I'm going to start by asking you both to introduce yourselves.
I'm Ikra, 24, and I'm visually impaired. I started Time to Talk at the very start.
That was in the first year of the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah. I had my 4 or 5 sessions with Alex and it helped me.
John, can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, great. So, hi, my name's John Ralphs. I'm an associate with NDTI and I'm one of the team that's works with Time to Talk Next Steps as well. So I've got a hat on to help people think about training, and also I'm probably supporting about 8 or 9 young people at the moment online as well. But I'm also background in fine art, but also nursing, and I've been a clinical manager. And I'm also dad of Georgie. So Georgie, my daughter, has got additional needs as well. So I kind of see 3 things. I've got my creativity, I've got my clinical or my management background, and I've got my dad perspective as well.
So today we're going to talk about co-production, and particularly how we do co-production, which is how we work together and how we do that with the Time to Talk Next and the Time to Talk programme, which you both have experience of. So tell me about how you approach working together on Time to Talk.
We meet with young people online, like Ikra said, 4 or 5 sessions, and they really push the agenda through. So I haven't got a checklist to go through. I start with where the young person is and try and work out how to support them. And it's all different things, really.
It'd be really interesting to hear your perspective on this, Ikra, how you felt that worked working together.
At the time when COVID started, it was like very scary time for everyone being in the lockdown. Like you couldn't really see anyone. Being in the four walls, it was a bit hard. I think it affected my mental health a bit. I think when I started speaking to a sport, it helped me, a person who has a disability, and I thought I did never experience anything like this before. You had like 5 sessions. It was up to you what you wanted to get help with. Then when my 4 or 5 sessions finished, I was like, I was interested being more part of the Time to Talk program.
That's when we got the lottery funding to continue the program, wasn't it?
We spoke to the lottery and gave our ideas. Then also I took part in designing a workshop, and that was a good experience, I thought, working with other people, giving my ideas, and I found it interesting.
John, what was it like from your perspective? Because co-production is something you've done a lot of, I know, from work that we've done together.
Well, I think Ikra's stolen my story, really. So, well done, Ikra. But I guess I'm saying the same thing, so that reinforces it. I remember when I had my nursey hat on, I'd often go and work with young people, and I'd be trying to fix them or create a solution. And I think the difference here on the like the 4 or 5 sessions we have online is that we start together, you know, and we start side by side, and we have a really deep, meaningful conversation. And together we're thinking about the kind of journey. It might be around helping somebody plan for the future, or it might be helping somebody dealing with their anxiety. But rather than coming in with I've got the ideas, I will sort it all out, it's actually starting with the young person. So I think that's great, and that's something I've learned, and much more a kind of coachy role rather than a practitioner role. But the other bit, I've always loved training, and I've always loved delivering training with other people with additional needs. But I think often I would do something around being person-centered, and I would ask some people to help me with that. But often, again, it's about me taking control. And I think co-production here, Time to Talk Next Steps, has given us the opportunity really just to sit and listen to what young people want to say within that training. So that's a different, I think that's a different point for me. And so we sat down and said, look, if we want to do some training to help professionals really listen to you. So just backtracking there, what I was picking up with young people, they're saying that professionals don't really listen to us. They don't really act on what we're saying. Wouldn't it be great if young people could actually say to practitioners and professionals, you need to listen to us. You need to involve us. We need to develop a space where we trust each other. So that was good for me in the sense of I'm taking a lead around the training in Time to Talk Next Steps and really pushing through the co-production work.
And a lot of the co-production work that we've done previously, the people come to that with a fair idea about what that means. They might have seen it before, they might have heard it before. With Time to Talk, I'm guessing that people, whilst they might have worked together before, they might have not heard of the word co-production. Did that bring any challenges with it? Were people ready to open up from both of your perspectives? You know, what challenges did that bring? What was different about this experience?
Okay, so my feeling is that when I've worked with the public sector, so that's like health and education and local authority. And when we talk about co-production, there's often a framework that's used. So we often hear something like the ladder of co-production. But I think that ladder kind of almost like bolts on to a service land thinking or point of view. And so you have to climb this ladder to engage with services on an equal level. And I think actually that's not what co-production is about. And actually, can we just get away from that service model and just sit down with individuals and let them talk about it. So there's a shift of power. I think there's a shift of control. And rather than getting a tick box, oh, yeah, we've done co-production, actually it's allowing space and time for young people to co-design. So start from the beginning about what we need to do, rather than me saying, here's an idea, here's a structure, here's a framework. How do we do that together? And that's been the challenge for me. That's the difference, I think, is not feeling constrained by the models of co-production, like the ladder of co-production. So that will make sense to some people, Ikra. They've heard about the ladder of co-production. But I'll be interested about your views about how we've worked together.
I think how we work was like everyone had their own idea. John said it's not about him, it's about us. And I thought we had the power to whatever we wanted to do. It was up to us to make it possible. I think normally if you're doing if you're doing something, it's like there's going to be like a plan and you have to follow that. And with this, there wasn't really a plan. It was up to us what we wanted to bring to the training and what ideas we had. My idea was I wanted to ask few questions. My questions were good, and I think I got a bit out of my questions, what I asked on the day.
You talked about the fact that it evolved. Were there any interesting developments from that you weren't expecting? Have things come forward that you thought, well, we'd never have done that had we not gone through this together? Anything that surprised either of you?
Do you want me to go first, Ikra?
Yeah.
So that, for me, the real challenge was really to do less. And that was to take a back seat and be more of a supportive coordinator rather than a ideas generator. And I think one of my super strengths is to create ideas. And so to almost button my lip and just sit and let young people have the space and tell us what we need to do. That was a interesting change in my approach. That's something that I'm not used to, but I think it was very rewarding. So not having control was for me was the real challenge. And so often as practitioners, we think we should have control. We think we should have the answers. We think we've been trained for so many years to have the answers. And actually, I think it takes great courage to sit back and allow a little bit of chaos, really, Ikra, you know, for it to develop something great. What's your feeling, Ikra?
I think I have a similar what I was going to say. I don't know how to word it, but it's like prisoners. They think they have all the power. They think they have all the training, so they know what to do. But I think from the experience, from like being part of multiple like workshops, we have training. We have more than 4 or 5 ideas. But in like it was best only having less ideas, like doing less, but making it stand out to everyone that young people have the voice, young people do have the power to do training.
And were you part, Ikra, of the International Resilience Conference session?
I recorded my questions because I couldn't be on the day. I had an exam on that day.
So I don't know which one of you wants to tell me a bit about that. So it was really exciting. You were asked to speak as a group at the International Resilience Conference. Was it in Blackpool?
It was a 2-day course. I don't know if you call it blended, but the first day it was online, but it could be face-to-face. So I think it was in Winter Gardens in Blackpool. And then the second day was all online. And we facilitated a workshop in the afternoon. So like Ikra was saying, a 45-minute workshop that people all over the world could log in and listen and get involved with as well.
And how did you pull together that session? So what kind of ideas did you share as a group?
We had like 5 to 6 planning sessions. A young person led it on. Like there was like another young person, a person who like was like a football coach. Then there was like my questions.
So each coming with your own ideas about different parts that you were going to contribute.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Ikra. There, I think. When I said about facilitating, I was just saying, you know, what is your super strength? What can you bring? What is your what are you really good at? So and then we used that. So you had, Ikra, you had very insightful questions. So we had 3 questions, didn't we, where people had to think and reflect and then do their answers online so we could see the answers in real time. And we had a guy called Eric that collects sounds from the environment and he creates this ambient sort of music.
Wow.
And so he made a bespoke 90-second piece of reflective music or sound while people were thinking about the question and posting their answer on the question. How cool is that? So a young person that could design some background music as well. And I like the thing about James. So James is he's got a football coaching qualification, and he got his football tactic board up, didn't he? And he held that up and he had like three things, and it's almost like a team talk, wasn't it, at the start. And interestingly with James, he wanted that video because he wasn't sure whether he could communicate what he wanted to say actually in real time. So he was happy to video it first, and then we played the video as well. And you're right, we had one young person. And they were kind of the person that kind of put the glue together or was the person that facilitated the workshop, and everybody else kind of contributed to it. So what one thing that I remember was Ashes, the thing that they wrote. And it was a real powerful thing about resilience. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
With my kind of hat on, if I got in the way, I think I'd have said, oh, I'm not sure about putting that piece of writing in. I think that's a little bit, oof, I'm not sure. But actually, everybody says that was so powerful with your questions as well. So if I interfered, I think, with Ash's a piece of writing, it wouldn't have been as so powerful, I think. So that was a lesson that I've learned, is just allowing young people to contribute and not put my perspective or my ideas or what I think is right or wrong. And I think it was very successful, very successful.
That's amazing. And what, I mean, you've mentioned there what the benefits were, what you, the benefits you felt. What do you think the benefits are for other people, particularly if we're doing that in a conference, which is about resilience? Mm. Do you think there's certain things that people might have learnt from that session that they might not have learnt from other more traditionally run sessions?
Yeah, I think you often have no disrespect, Ikra, but you have a token young person contributing or showing something. But this was from start to finish. It was facilitated, designed, and produced and delivered by young people. And some of those questions I thought I would never have thought about if it came from my perspective. So I know one of the questions was, when you've tried everything that you know, all your tricks in the book, everything you've learned on your training, and it hasn't worked for a young person, then what would you do? And I've never really thought about that, because what I hear from young people is that their professionals come with their kind of three solution ideas, and we'll try one, we'll try two, we'll try three. But what happens if nothing changes? Where do you go now? And that to me was very, very powerful. So the benefits for me is, I really do believe that as we go forward, and what I see in the summer onwards, Ikra, is that we're going to be delivering training to help professionals and practitioners really think hard about their engagement and how they work with young people. And what I hope to see is a change in practice that comes from the voices of young people, not the voices from Time to Talk staff, but from the voices of young people. And I hope it's a kind of a ripple effect. I hope more and more young people will see, actually, we can contribute, we can make a difference, we can change culture, we can change service delivery. And I hope it's going to be inspiration for more young people. That's my dream. And actually, you're going to do me out of a job, Ikra, which will be fabulous. Will be absolutely fabulous.
That is the dream, isn't it? Because you want people to be able to grow. Ikra, what were the main benefits for you in working in that way? What did you feel changed for you?
I agree what John said. I have been in different NHS services from my most of my life up to now. And I think it's not, you try one solution, two solutions, three solutions, if it doesn't work, there's nothing else. It's like, it's a bit more personal-centered, like.
Absolutely.
A young person knows, like, what they want. Like, I think there needs a lot of change in services. We have made a bit of difference. I think what there's a lot more training need to be done. I just want to say, this training was amazing. I learned a lot. I think the training we did, other people have learned what a young person can do to make a change. I'm looking forward to being part of more training.
Fantastic. And we're looking forward to you doing that. So that's brilliant. And John, anything else that you want to add?
No, I think it's all been online, isn't it, Ikra, that we've been doing. And there's been a strength there, because it's a program for people in England. So, I live kind of in the Midlands area, but I've been talking to loads of different people. So there's a kind of strength there about we can draw on people's from all different places. But I think it would be really great if we could actually do some face-to-face stuff as well. So now COVID's over, actually, to be in a room and actually deliver our training as well. Maybe a bit of a hybrid, maybe some technical interactive things on screen, but to have some young people in the room in front of some practitioners and professionals, I think would be a great thing we would see in the future.
Thank you. That's great. And thank you both for joining us. If you'd like to hear more about the Time to Talk Next Steps programme in England and the Time to Talk Next Steps Scotland programme, which is just launching, then
please look at www.ndti.org.uk, where all the information will be available. And I hope you can join us again in 2 weeks' time.